8, and we're going to read a few verses tonight. I'm going to go through. I was noticing in my message that in the introduction I actually wrote this last week, that we're going to try to move rather quickly through this part of the chapter. That didn't happen. Did I say that? And it didn't happen. So stand with me, Proverbs 28. And I apologize, it just didn't happen. But we did get point one done of the message, and there are 4 points. And so the points are actually turning out to be messages. That's okay. Last week, the message turned out to be the courageous, or the courage of the righteous. And I want to just remind you of a few things about that. And the bottom line is, it truly is more courageous to do that which is right than to go with the flow of the world and be carnal, or to do that which is evil or wrong. It takes a lot more courage to do what is right. Now tonight, I'm going to look at the second point of this message, and I didn't bring the third and fourth point. I just knew that would not be good to do. So, the second point, or the second message from this passage of Scripture in Proverbs 28, we're going to call it this: the caution of riches. Now, the Proverbs has a lot to say about money, a whole lot to say. And just as we looked at last week and we said about the contrast, there's good and there's bad, there's evil and there is good, there is a right way to do things and a wrong way to do things. Money in itself is not evil. In fact, you'll have some people say, oh, the Bible says that money is the root of all evil. The Bible doesn't say that at all. The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. So there is a caution when it comes to finances, or a caution when it comes to riches, and there is a lot of contrast that the book of Proverbs get, and we're going to look at some of that tonight. So let's look at verse number 3 of Proverbs 28. The Bible says, "A poor man that oppresseth the poor is like a sweeping rain which leaveth no food." Now drop down to verse number 6. We're just going to look at the verses that give us a caution of riches. Verse number 6 says, "Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich." You understand that? You would be better off to walk correctly, be courageous in your walk, and not have much, than to be perverse and be rich. Verse number 8. "He that by usury and unjust gain increaseth his substance, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor." Verse 11. "The rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that hath understanding searcheth him out." Look at verse 19. "He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough." Verse 20. "A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent." Verse 24. "Whoso robbeth his father or his mother and saith, it is no transgression, the same is the companion of a destroyer." And then one more verse, verse 27. "He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse." So again, you have these contrasts, or these instructions and warnings and things, not only about the righteous, but also about rulers in this chapter, and then also about riches or money, or the idea of what we do with our finances, how we handle our finances, what we do with them, what we think about giving away, and such as this. So the Bible is full of that kind of stuff. And so with God's help tonight, let's look at some of these things tonight. Lord, we're thankful that You are so good to us. Thankful that we can come together in the middle of the week and be encouraged just by, Lord, I'm encouraged just by people coming to the house of God. and fellowshipping together. But Lord, we also need to understand that we need to hear from Your Word. Every time we come into the house of God, we need to hear from You. And so, Lord, this may be to some people a review of things of past. To others, it could be the first time they've heard these types of principles that are found in the Word of God. So I pray, Lord, that You would help in the preaching and that You would speak to our hearts in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm always amazed by those who say, and who preachers who say, "Oh, I don't preach about money." And I'm thinking, well, you're leaving out some of the Bible if you don't preach about money. We can't preach about missions without preaching about money. Every aspect of life, if you've not figured this out, in some way or another, involves finances. Every month, the city utility sends me a bill and expects me to pay it. Therefore, if I don't pay it, by the next month, I may not have any lights that'll come on. And so I don't understand that mentality, but we do know that the idea of wealth and poverty are analyzed very clearly in the book of Proverbs. And God says things like this. God doesn't say anything wrong with having wealth, but He also doesn't say there's anything wrong with not having wealth. It's okay. The Bible makes it very clear that we should be content with the things that we have. It also, the principle is there, it doesn't mean that we cannot try to better ourselves. No, the Bible is very clear about that. In fact, this, in some of the verses that we read from the text, it will actually tell you how to have a path to do better, or to have riches, or to do better than you have. Listen, there's nothing wrong. Praise God, we live in America. We live in the United States of America. We have been afforded many opportunities. And one of the things that I probably, that thrills my soul the most is to be driving down the road and see some little kid that's 7 or 8 years old and they have a lemonade stand. I'll stop and give them a couple of dollars, and I don't need any lemonade. I just need the idea that there's 7-year-old entrepreneurs out there willing to try to work, or like the two boys that came by this past week and said, "Can I rake your yard?" I like that. I like that better than them kids sitting in the front of a TV or sitting on the couch playing a video game. Now, whether you know this or not, those are the kids that'll grow up to actually follow the principles that are found in the book of Proverbs. Amen, preacher. Absolutely. But there is a caution when it comes to riches. There is a caution when it comes to wealth. In fact, it's unfortunate, but you can find out a whole lot of people. You can find out a whole lot about somebody if you give them money. And it's not always good. Absolutely. That's why the Bible does say that the love of money is the root of all evil. So the Scriptures, and especially Proverbs, and in some of the verses that we read tonight, give us a much different perspective on wealth and poverty than the world does. All right? The world is going to give you a totally different perspective when it comes to money than the Bible does. Now, if you look at this, look at verse number 3, the Bible says, "A poor man that oppresseth the poor." Now, can you imagine that? You say, you mean a poor man would actually oppress another person? Yeah, it goes to show you that whether you have money or not money, it is the character of the person that is actually going to make a difference on what they do with their poverty or what they do with their wealth. Hey, it's okay not to have a lot of money, but it is not okay to lose your integrity or your character. In fact, that's why the Bible is going to tell us that it is much better not to have much and to keep your integrity and to keep your uprightness and to do right with God than it would be to have a lot of money and then go evil or oppressive. And did you know that it is possible for people that once who didn't have anything to get something, they go corrupt? They go hog wild crazy because of money. So, if you look at verse number 8, you'll see that. He that by usury, and look at this, an unjust gain increaseth his substance. But notice, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor. Verse number 19, he that tilleth his land, listen to this, he that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. So here's what the Bible is telling us in these verses. Oh, we could do 22 again. He that hasteneth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that the poverty shall come upon him. The right, there is the right, and there's the right way to gain, and there is the wrong way to gain. So there is a very wrong way to try to gain wealth or to gain money. Does everybody understand that? There's a lot of evil out there today. People will do whatever they can to gain riches, but they gain it in the wrong way or in the wrong path. The Bible says it will never turn out good for them. For instance, we need to understand that how a person obtains his wealth has much to do whether he's going to keep it or whether God could actually take it away from him. Everybody understand what I'm saying? Look at verse number 3 and verse number 8. I'll say it again. But a poor man that oppresseth the poor is like a sweeping rain which leaveth no food. Now, I think you can understand that, but what I love is like analogies like this that we can look outside and see right now, meaning like this. For the first time in my life, had a high wind advisory that came across my telephone about 4 o'clock or 3:30 this afternoon and talked about the high winds that were going to take place. And so these sweeping winds come in, talk about 60, 70 miles an hour wind, and the next thing you know, every leaf on the tree is gone. Which makes me very glad that I didn't wreck my leaves. Because when I went outside, they were all gone. I said, praise the Lord. God took care of... You know, I only got one tree. Everybody knows that. Most people that know me know I don't like trees. And so I only have one tree. The problem with this one tree is we had one tree in our front yard. And can't even remember what it was. It was a Bradford pear, I believe it was. And we had a windstorm probably 8-9 years ago, came through and cut it right in half. So I cut the thing down. But I decided, well, I better have... And every man needs one tree. No, you don't need any more than that, but you need one tree. So I went and got a maple tree, but not a silver maple. But it's a maple tree, and I did a little bit of research, and I put that tree out there about 8 years ago, and it was very small, and it was not real small. I was trying to replace it with a similar one and the size, I didn't want the wind to tear it up. Now the problem is the thing's gotten so big, it's got a lot of leaves. Now I don't like to rake leaves. I said I don't like to rake leaves. So God knows I don't like to rake leaves. So God raked my leaves today for me, because when we came home, I said, man, look at all those leaves. I mean, there was a pile of leaves in the front yard. Now you go to my house, they're all gone. God is so good. So I need the rest of the leaves to fall, and then I need one more. I need God to blow it out one more time. Except I told the girls, leave the garage door down or we're going to have all the leaves in the garage. You know what I'm saying? But that's the idea there. A poor man oppresses the poor is like a sweeping rain, or comes along and tears everything off of the tree and leaves no fruit, or tears everything away and leaves no fruit. Do you understand that poor people there's poor people that would actually oppress another poor person? I'll give you an example. Somebody that loans somebody money for a 45% interest rate down here, and these little crazy things that people go in and they take their car titles to, and they have no idea. Those are poor people. Those are poor, wicked people oppressing poor, wicked people. And I'm telling you, those things will never... Or how about these people that build these gigantic casinos? I hate to break the news to you, but gambling and the lottery And going down to the casino is not going to be the way, correct way to get rich. In other words, it's not going to be the way that the God of this universe would ever bless anybody. Now, you know what all that is? Is that's the poor oppressing the poor. It's what that is. And so, I will tell you there are evil ways that people make money. One of them is they swindle people. That's what we read in verse number 3 and verse number 8 where it says, "He that by usury and unjust gain increaseth his substance, hey, he will gather it for him that will pity the poor." In other words, God can take something away and He can give it to somebody else. Now the government, they think that's the way it should be, and that's not the way it should be. God can do better than that. God can take care of that. "So he that by usury or unjust gain increaseth his substance shall gather it for him." Some get rich by swindling people out of their money. Sometimes the poor do it to the poor, and sometimes it's done by the dishonest gain through unjust ways of making money. And I'm telling you, again, there is nothing wrong with borrowing money at a reasonable rate based on whatever the market might dictate. Don't tell me there's anything wrong with that. But it would be wrong to oppress a poor person by saying, give me your car title, and then I'll make it so that you can't make the payment. And then what I'll do is I'll take away your car. Now, I'm not trying to get political, and I'm not trying to get, but listen, does everybody understand why the housing industry collapsed in 2008? Let me just tell you in case you don't know it. It's because bankers and lenders, now I know that they were pressured by those higher than them. Oh yeah, they were saying, the American dream is that everybody should own a house. To which I say, absolutely, if you can afford it. There's no, I want people to afford a house. But listen, what is wrong is when you put people in a position where they're going to lose automatically. That's wicked. And that's in many cases that's what happened. They put people in these interest rate loans that were variable, and yet some people were buying at the maximum rate or buying the biggest house they could for the smallest amount of money. Except the problem is when the interest rate went up, they weren't able to pay the payment, and those people got their money, and the poor guy that couldn't make the payment, who was making the same amount of money in many instances, was left trapped. That's exactly what God's talking about here. And you know what God says? I can take care of that kind of stuff. Amen. That's not the way. Listen, God's people shouldn't be in the kind of industry that would be swindlers. These are bad paths to gain wealth, and God will take away the wealth of one who has achieved this wealth by swindling others out of their income. And then there's the schemes, I call them. There's more schemes out there than you can shake a stick at. And they always try to oppress the widow or oppress the poor or to swindle them out. You know, like for instance, I remember a widow called me one day and said, "Pastor, I just had a guy come by and said that my roof needs to be replaced." And I said, "Well, maybe it does, maybe not. Let's check it out." It didn't need to be replaced. There was a guy trying to swindle a widower out of money. Now, you know, that's dishonest. That is not the way to gain wealth. Now, I hate to break the news to you, but I'll fast forward. The way to gain wealth is by hard work. Because that's why the Bible tells us that in verse number 19, "He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain person shall have poverty enough." So, here we find out they're scheming. A faithful man. Listen, a faithful man in verse number 20. Notice this. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. But he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Now, if you ever hear this, and it's too good to be true, if you ever hear that when somebody tells you in some kind of scheme, it probably is. And so we need to understand that you need to be very careful. And again, come on in. Or you drive down the you drive between here and Oklahoma, and you'll see these billboards for casinos, and they've all got the best deal. Every one of them has got a better deal than the other one. But the problem is the deal is for them and not for the person who goes in there. Everybody understand that? I went to Las Vegas. I've been to Las Vegas one time. And I thought, oh yeah, man, everybody in Las Vegas is getting rich. Look at all these buildings. Marble buildings. Grand. Unbelievable. I mean, it's unreal. How do you think they built those things? Oh, it was just by luck. No, they took people's money. And people go into those places hoping to come out rich, yet they leave poverty stricken. So maybe we could call the get rich quick schemes, maybe we could actually call them get poor quick schemes. And here's what the Bible says. God's curse is on it. And then did you know that there's actually people out there that just plain old steal money? All right, now be careful here, because if you've ever cheated or you cheat on your taxes, hey, you're a thief. All right, let me go a little bit further. You don't tithe, you're a thief. So there's other ways that you can be a thief. It's getting quiet. But it is true. But here the Bible talks about in verse 24 here about somebody robbing his father and mother and then say, it's not a transgression. That guy is a companion of a destroyer. Unfortunately, sometimes you also find out how people really are is when somebody dies. And they're going to leave money. Except they didn't leave it to you. Or they didn't. You know what I'm saying? You begin to find out about people. I was just told of a story. And the man that was telling me the story said, man, it's like a fair. It's like out, right out of some kind of movie. And it was a man had, this man had a couple of, well, he had one wife, and then he had a second wife, and then he had a third wife. But then they found out the third wife that he was married to, he actually never divorced the second wife, even though he was married to the third wife. And nobody knew all of this because it was all over the country. But then his third wife, who wasn't really his wife, but because he wasn't still married to his second wife, you can't be married to two people yet. It's coming, but not yet. And so anyhow, then so finds out so. He had left all of his assets to his child with another woman, but yet this third woman had him change his will, or she somehow it got changed, but apparently he didn't change it, but it got changed, and then she got all the money, and now nobody knows where she's at. Man, that's kind of like Proverbs 28, stealing money. You understand what I'm saying? But then stealing from your parents? But people do it all the time. And God said this, you're a companion of a destroyer. So in other words, robbing somebody's parents and then saying it's not a sin is the same as a murderer saying, well, I didn't mean to. So here's the deal. Robbing your parents is not the way to get rich. Now, I spent all that time negative. What about the positive? Because it's okay to have money. But it has to be obtained in a way that is honoring to the Lord. And here it is. Work. W-O-R-K with capital letters. Michael, you work, don't you? Michael has a job! So when I say, when somebody says, I just can't have a job, I've actually said this, Michael, and you don't even know this, but somebody has said to me, well, I just don't know if I can get a job. I go, Michael has a job. And they go, who's Michael? I said, a guy that goes to my church, that's on the front row, he has a job. Michael have a job? Anybody can have a job. or no excuse, right, Michael? Say amen. All right, good. Because here's what the Bible says. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. Now listen, time out. Don't leave here and say that I'm against people that are disabled or anything like that. I am not. In fact, I praise God that we live in a country where we have made it available for people to help. In fact, you could go back to 2 Kings chapter 4 and you could be reminded of the widow woman who had two children and her husband died while he was at the school of the prophets, and she was in a destitute situation where that her child, her two children, were going to actually be sold into slavery to pay the debt that they owed. We don't live like that. All right. So, and by the way, the law had made provision for things like that, but by the time you get to 2 Kings chapter 4, you'll understand that there was we're on the heels of Ahab and Jezebel. And so there was the kings of the north had made no provision for this, and they would have allowed, the government would have actually allowed the creditors to come and sell those two boys into slavery to pay the debt. All right, so we don't live there, but I do believe that I do believe there's a lot of people that are able-bodied that don't want to work. And that's what we're talking about, poverty. Now, I don't know the whole story. I really don't. In fact, I choose in some cases not to know. But I don't understand how you can drive around the city and you can see tents put up in poor parts of the city and say free cell phones. Have you noticed that? You can tell me about it later, but something that don't add up. That time out, that don't add up. Because when I went to AT&T, they didn't give me no free cell phone. They made me pay for it. Which, by the way, I think that's kind of the way it should be. Well, but ever. So when did it become a right that you should have a phone? I'm waiting for free cars. I'll sign up for that one. No. Do you see our country? I mean, entitlement? You are entitled if you work for it. Now again, I praise God for my dad because he taught me work. He taught me not to be afraid of work. And absolutely. And here's what I think we should do with our children. Teach them to work. I'm telling you, I'm going to get off on these cell phones and Facebook and video games. Too much of it going on. Here's what we should do is have our kids read a book. Does anybody know what that is? It's this thing that opens up and it's got words on it. Anyhow. Let's see. I don't rob from my parents, preacher, so I'm in good shape. Okay, let's see. You don't rob from your parents. All right, so you live in their house. So far, am I right? You eat the food that they buy at Walmart or Price Cutter or wherever. Am I right so far? They got you a bed that you sleep in. And they ask you to take out the garbage and you give them an attitude. You're a robber! And you don't even know it. Or they say, clean up your room or make your bed. And you stomp around like, I can't believe that they want me to make my bed and like take out the garbage and like do the dishes. Yes! Amen. But that same girl at 13 that don't want to do that wants to get married. It ain't going to work that way. Because he ain't going to do the dishes. Right, Robin? Right. But he will do the laundry and cook. There's things he can do, right? All right, amen. You know what the whole point is? It's so simple that I love it. and that is hard work is the right way to gain wealth. And it can be done in any industry. It's hard work, hard work. If you work hard, you will not want. But if you do not work, poverty will overwhelm you. And I'm not even going to go back and look at all the texts in the book of Proverbs that talk about the slothful will not work and therefore will experience poverty. All right, look at verse number 6. There's another instruction here. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Now, here's what we need to understand according to this text, that God doesn't say it's wrong to be poor or wrong to not have a lot, but it is wrong to be wicked. Amen. And it is wrong to be evil. And so God says this, you would be better off in your life than if you didn't have a lot and you did that which was right. It is better to be poor and righteous than to be rich and wicked. Did you hear what I said? Righteousness is the greatest possession that you can ever have. Not riches, righteousness. And then look at verse number 11. The rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that hath understanding searcheth him out. Now let me just say this. It would be better to be saved and know the Lord than to be the head of a Fortune 500 company and be lost. Amen. And die and go to hell, yet you have multiple riches. Now here's what this verse also teaches us, that in many cases wealth brings pride and makes the rich think they're so smart and so clever and so discerning, but yet God says in this verse, if you know the Lord and you know what the Bible says, you can be much richer in discerning that which is right than you can by having money. Now, well, preacher, is it okay to have money? Yeah, because look at verse number 27. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack. So here's what the Bible says here, that if you do have money, then you also need to be willing not to borrow, not to lend it out, but to give it away. Amen. Now, loaning people money is a very bad idea. And the reason is the slave or the borrower become slave to the lender, according to the Scripture. But if a person has it to give somebody and help them, then you're better off. No obligation. Ah. Works a whole... Well, the only reason it works better is because that's what God says. And you ought to keep... If you're able, I'm not saying everybody, but if you're able to do this, you need to keep some money in your pocket that's called giveaway money. Now listen, as the Lord would lead you in the right direction, just give it. And you know what God will do, Brother Steve? He'll throw it back at you. We were talking about this the other day. You get somebody, God lays something on your heart, somebody has a need, and so you go give that money, and you're so thankful that you're able to do that. And then 3 days later, it shows back up in your mailbox or in some other way. And you're like, you can't give money away. You can't if you do it with the right heart. Because it'll come back to you some other way. So what do? Give it away again. And I'm just telling you, philanthropy is a good thing if it's done correctly. But it also says, he that hideth his eyes. In other words, if you see somebody that has a need and you're able to do something about it, and you don't do it because you want to keep it all for yourself, then your money will be cursed. Now, look at verse 25. One more verse. He that is proud He is of a proud heart, stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Now you say, well, that's not a money verse. Oh yeah, it is. Because the Bible says if you put your trust in the Lord, He will make you fat. That word fat has the idea of being prosperous. So you know what the best prosperity is trusting God. Amen. Having faith in God will make one fat or prosperous. And again, the word fat here involves more than earthly gain, but it actually involves heavenly gain. If we give with the right heart, especially like missions, I do believe eternity will reveal when we get to heaven and what our attitude was towards giving, and especially in the area of missions and faith promise and giving to needs. And we just do it because it's the right thing to do and we want to do it, and we do it out of a heart of love. Can you imagine getting to heaven and seeing people that got saved because of your dollars that you gave? Now, you listen to me. You cannot put a dollar value on a soul. Amen. Absolutely not. And treasures in heaven are worth more than treasures on the earth. Guarantee you. Why is that? Because anything on earth is temporary, and anything in heaven is eternal. So, God has a lot to say about money. Some of it's good, and some of it's bad. And there's a right way to gain wealth, and there's a wrong way to gain wealth. What we need to be doing as God's people is gaining it the correct way. Amen. Let's stand this afternoon, or tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, I pray tonight that we would understand the truth that is contained in the Scriptures about the courage of the righteous, but also, Lord, that we might understand tonight that there is a caution to the riches, or caution for our finances. And so, Lord, I pray that we might understand the truth is You own it all. You own everything. And we are nothing more than caretakers or stewards of what You've allowed us to have. So, Lord, tonight my prayer would be that we would be the right kind of steward. And, Lord, if we're robbing from God in any way or robbing to gain, Lord, I pray that You would convict us of that, and we'd get right with You. So, Lord, You work tonight as only You can in our hearts, especially the idea when it comes to giving. In Christ's name we ask. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed.